Hey there. Just before we begin today's episode, I'd first like to apologize for not doing an intro last week. As you may have guessed, the festive season is quite the busy one, and for a hobbyist podcaster like myself, sometimes I just don't have the time to edit in these little snippets. However, this week, I have a bit more time free, so let's talk. I know when we did Year Zero with my sister that I said that I would do Mary on a Cross as a Christmas special. However, just for the fact that Christmas falls basically in the middle of this season, and I'm already swamped with making the rest of the show, unfortunately, this isn't going to be a reality this year. Maybe next year, who knows? However, I actually do have a little surprise, or two, maybe, depends on how it goes, that's coming along to your ears very soon. Takes a bit more editing than normal, but I think you'll enjoy it for the comedic effect alone. Not quite sure when it's going to drop, as I said, not giving myself a deadline. However, I will say this. Unfortunately, due to the festive season, etc., I haven't had the time to record a monstrous clock just yet. I'm going to get it to your ears as soon as possible, but it's not going to be in 2 weeks' time, mainly because I want to take a week off or so for, you know, the Christmas period. And with that being said, I hope you enjoy today's episode, and thank you so much for following me along on this journey in 2020. It's been a rough year for all of us. I'm just glad I could provide what little entertainment and pleasure this podcast brings you. So thank you for listening, and please, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Now, let's get into The Depth of Satan's Eyes. Hello, ghouls and ghoulettes, and welcome to the Gospel of Ghost, the podcast that aims to bring the lore and narrative of Ghost to the forefront of their music. My name is Niall, and today I'm joined by another recurring guest. It's Aidan.
Hello, I am back.
Yes, you are. How's it going? This is Aidan from Ghost Clergy UK. You featured last time on a previous episode, which escapes me.
Satan Prayer.
Ah, basically, that's the one.
The two with Satan. I think they're the two with Satan in the title.
I was
title.
Just about to say, you have a very, you're drawn to the name, shall we say.
Yeah, there's a theme, isn't there?
Just a little bit.
Yeah, I'm back.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you for joining me. So how's life been in the Ghost Clergy UK? Because I spoke to Bryn previously on this season.
Yes.
So how's life been for you?
Well, it's been all right for me. I've not been posting much recently, but that's because I've been very, very busy with uni work. But I'll be back over Christmas, I'm sure, posting more on Ghost Clergy UK. Last time I was on here, I was promoting one podcast I started. I haven't really done that one for a while, but I've started another one, which is called Exterminating Doctor Who, where me and my co-host take unpopular episodes of Doctor Who and question whether they're really all that bad. So that's what I've been doing recently, getting my podcasting head on. So if you want to listen to that, if you're a Doctor Who fan, you can find that on YouTube or Spotify. It's about exterminating Doctor Who. That's been me recently.
Take it from me, guys. If you want a good quality podcast, that is the place to go. I'm actually a massive fan of Doctor Who. The fact that Doctor Who has been brought up on the Gospel of Ghosts is cause my girlfriend to shoot herself in the head because it's just two of my greatest loves combined.
Yes, you've been waiting all this time, like, oh, one day I'll be able to mention Doctor Who on the Gospel of Ghost. And now you're like, yes, I can finally do it.
Finally, it's happened. Well, we're going to regenerate this into the Gospel of really? Doctor Who. We're not going to do that. That's your gig. I'm not going to take it, though I do want to be on an episode, as we've already discussed.
You will be.
No, I really enjoy it, and I'm looking forward to what you have to say about some of the more controversial episodes that you haven't covered yet. I really do look forward to it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Today, we're here to talk about Ghost. Infestissimum, and I've asked a lot of my guests this, what is your take on Infestissimum? Not the storyline take, like, do you enjoy the album? Is it one of your favourites? Is it one of your least favourites? Tell me about it.
Well, if I had to rank them, it'd probably be second bottom.
Interesting.
Precare would be last, then it would be this one.
Interesting.
Then If I had to rank the albums, it'd be Pacquiao last, then this one, then Opus, then Meliora.
Okay. May I ask why Pacquiao's so low?
I think I just prefer the mystical sort of oldie Ghost. When did you get into Ghost?
I got into them around the time that Meliora was released.
Oh, so technically I joined after you, but I prefer that, the older side of Ghost, whereas Pacquiao, I think, is a bit more, the lyrics aren't quite... Well, even reading through them on this album, I was having to do some serious poetry analysis on these lyrics.
Yeah, it is a massive problem with it that some of the songs are really good for it. Like, some of the songs are like Opus quality storytelling and lyric ships, but some of them, like this one, for example, are quite repetitive.
Yeah, but I prefer this side of Ghost, really. So even though it's second last in my ranking, it's still a 10 out of 10 album for me.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just having to put them in the right order. It's a much proggier, a lot of organs on this one, but I like that.
It's just weird to me that you have Meliora at the top of your list, and then you have Prequel at the bottom of your list, but that's like Prequel, sort of like an evolution of Meliora, so they went one step too far for you, in your opinion.
I don't know, I think Meliora is closer to
Infestissimum. Trust me, I've had an entire season to talking about
I
that.
I tend to just say it like the song, so I usually get Infestissimum.
That's fine,
But then it's too much of a mouthful, so I just tend to call it Infest, so...
I would disagree with that, to be honest. I would say it's progressing more into the Prequel territory. It's not quite there, but I say it's progressing more into that. I say it's closer to that than it is the Infestissimum, but to each their own.
Yeah, I think maybe because it's a bit more...
Neum Redacted.
There's influence, maybe a bit more. I'll be allowed to use the real names on here.
Maybe. I haven't decided yet.
I think there's a bit more of Omega's influence on that one.
There you go. I'll bleep that out in the edit.
Yeah. Bleep it, and then I can say that, yeah, that's sure.
We're trying to avoid real names, because storylines and kayfabe and all that kind of stuff. Kayfabe is a wrestling reference. Boom, 3 out of 3, let's go. Doctor Who wrestling and...
pretend I understood that one.
That's fair. It's fine. You're not going to be on my next wrestling podcast then?
No.
Oh, okay. Way to shoot me down there, partner.
I'm sorry.
It's okay, it's not for everybody. But let's move on. So, we've talked about... how you like Infestissimum. What is your favorite song on the album?
Well, I'm not going to say Year Zero, because that's the obvious one.
I said it, but go ahead, yeah. Calling me out for being too obvious, being too basic, but fair enough.
I'm sorry, I just feel like... Though I don't even know if I would say that is my favorite one, to be fair. Maybe Monstrance Clock is there.
Yeah.
Or maybe Goulet. They'd be the two.
Fair.
But I do genuinely really like this one, actually.
Yeah,
I think it's
this is a
really underrated song.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's a massively underrated classic, in my opinion.
Yeah. Because
when I first started out this section of the podcast on Infestissimum, it was like Marmite to me. Something didn't gel with me beforehand, but listening to a lot of the songs, maybe individually, maybe it's not as an album to me, they don't gel well, but individually, this one is amazing. It just sounds so good, and I wish they would play it more on tour.
Yeah, I don't even know if they've ever played it, or if they have, not for a very long time.
Oh no, they have. They've played it, but it wasn't for ages. Like, they didn't play it for a very, very, very long time.
I assume probably Papa Emeritus II is the only person to have played it.
I think so, yeah. Unless they did it in like an American tour that I wasn't aware of. I'm gonna have to Google that later.
I think that's probably right.
It probably is, because
Let's just say it is.
Yeah,
so we
facts.
Sound so
facts.
We sound like
yeah,
we know what we're talking
we've said
about.
It, so it's fact. You heard that here first in the Gospel of Ghosts, the Death of Satan's Eyes has never been played by any other Papa apart from Papa 2.
There we go.
And if you have video footage of it, fake news.
Yes.
both very good songs, in my opinion, and I'm glad that you agree on this underratedness of this song. So, with that said, let's dive into it, shall we?
Let's go.
Awesome. I'm going to do the usual plot summary, if that's okay?
Oh yeah, sure.
9 months have passed since the events of Opus, and the Antichrist is imminent. During those 9 months, the clergy have grown significantly, though still not enough to take the Church of God head on. However, the Church are aware of their threat, and are trying, and feeling, to keep the swaying population on their side. Requesting help from their Dark Lord in the form of prayer, the clergy have used the dark powers of Satan to cloud the judgment of the Church to their plans, as well as confuse the general populace even further. With the power growing inside the baby, the time has arrived. The Antichrist has been born into the world, and the clergy have celebrated the coming of a new age. And with the Antichrist maturing, the population have started to subconsciously turn on the Church of God and embrace a lower power. Having grown into adulthood, the Antichrist has begun his mission to corrupt the world and allow his father to gain power. And that's where we are in the storyline of the Gospel of Ghost.
Okay. Nice little previously section there.
Thank you. It's going to just get longer and longer.
Oh, yeah. By the next album after Precow, you'll be crying through that catch up.
Yeah, 15 minutes long.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to reset it like I did in the last one. I want to begin this episode by discussing our theories on what this song entails story-wise, okay? I want you to give me your take on what you think this song is trying to portray as a broad spectrum, if you will.
Okay. I think there's a very obvious analysis of this one and then a more metaphorical one. I think the obvious one, really, this is just them saying, we're going to cloud the judgment of the church. If you are lost without a vision, come to Satanism and we can give you all these things. I think that's the really obvious one. Yep. Then there's the other bit, a bit later on into the song, where it almost feels like it's a perspective from hell. And it's like people in hell themselves, not just a church at this point, but the actual who the church are talking about. Mm. Feels like they're saying, we're in hell. You've found your way to Satanism. And now, welcome to hell. And
you fucked up.
Yeah, yeah. So, we'll get on to that soon. But I think there's, once it gets to a certain line in here, it's like, you're in hell now. This is what you've done.
Did not have that take myself. It is somewhat similar. They fucked up. That is a general theme throughout this entire song. But I'm not quite sure that I got to the point where they're in hell. I look forward to discussing that.
Oh, I'll explain that bit then.
I look forward to it. But in my opinion, this is the moment, or rather moments, events, whatever you want to say, that describes Satan finally taking the world into his domain, into his power. That doesn't necessarily mean transferring the population to hell itself. That means that he's, you know, the Church of God at this point, in my opinion, has been defeated, or is being defeated throughout this song. The clergy and Antichrist have stolen their followers, discredited them, and placed themselves in a position of absolute authority over man. That's kind of what I've got for this song going forward, okay?
Yeah.
Before we start into the lyrics, and it's going to be a very short section, I want to first talk about the opening sort of guitar riff noise, I suppose you want to call it.
Okay.
Is it just me, or doesn't that sound like a warning alarm? You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Like, it sounds like
that bit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can't do it, for the love of God.
I like that little interpretation there.
Thank you. It sounds
Niall
like...
Niall sings the songs of ghosts,
oh,
everybody.
God. Get your Christmas albums now. But yeah, to me, it sounds like it's literally prophesizing that something awful is happening just through the actual, like, just through the guitar riff. Like, I haven't even got into the lyrics yet, and it's like, oh, shit has hit the fan.
Yeah.
Do you agree on that?
I understand this in this theory, and I think it's quite a good one.
What a very political way of putting it.
Maybe it's not what they intended, but I can see what you mean.
I mean, to me, it sounds awesome. Like, I love it. It's so good. But yeah, just thought I would mention that. Let's get into the lyrics. So, through scapes of murmur, noisy walls of sound, without a starlit night, shores are nowhere to be found. Now, do you want to start this one off? Or do you want to give me your interpretation of these?
Well, I think this is just that bit about being dazed and confused and sort of lost in a visionless world, really. So maybe if you're saying they have defeated the Church of God as we know it at this point, you've got a bunch of people like, oh, what do I do now? And I feel like that's just describing that in a very convoluted way. That's how I interpret that.
I think you're completely correct. I've said here, I believe this verse is describing the population of former Christians who haven't quite come round to joining the clergy yet, or of a population that is lost and confused following the collapse of an established power, that are now searching for essentially the next light to guide them down a path that they haven't seen yet.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Pretty much exactly that. I think we can take from the context of this verse, I think we can take that the Church of God has collapsed. There is a massive power vacuum that's slowly being filled by Satanism, by Papa, and by the clergy and Satan himself and the Antichrist. And that the population are going towards that light because are going towards the path that they're told because they don't know any better. They're essentially, they've been brainwashed for so long by the Church of God that they're just sheep, essentially.
Yeah.
Skips is a suffix typically used to form nouns referring to a wide view of a place, often one represented in a picture. So that's through scapes of murmur. In my opinion, these scapes of murmur and noisy walls of sound are chatter, gossip, panic, whatever you want to say, of the population discussing which way to go forward, which way to turn now. It's a huge turning point in their civilization and currently encompasses basically everyone and everything that's being discussed.
Yeah.
And without a starlit night, shores nowhere to be found, is again a metaphorical description of the situation. The light of God has gone out, and the population feel like they are lost at sea with no astral navigation to help them find their way. There's no North Star. There's no, I assume there's a South Star. I don't know. I've never, I've never been sailing. I've never needed to guide myself by the stars.
No.
There was three of them. There was only one of them. That was the wise man. I was going to say there was three stars for Jesus, but that's not true.
No. That'd be a very complicated journey for the three stars. Which one do we go to?
Oh, that would have been great.
Spend years trying to find the barn or whatever.
You missed him. He's gone. The population are stuck in a feeling of hopelessness and despair, essentially, is what I've got. Would you agree with most of that assumption?
Yeah, I think it's bang on. It's just a very complicated, ghosty way of saying that.
Yeah, pretty much. Are you okay to move on to the next line?
Yeah,
next few lines?
Carry on.
So,
with more nautical themes.
Yes, of more nautical themes. On seas of wonder, ye confused strays, without a guiding light, you see no ways.
Again, I think even just the fact it says strays there just proves that these are a bunch of people lost. They don't have a home to go to in a way.
Mm-hmm.
They are lost at sea, apparently. And they haven't got the star of Jesus to find
them. I think it's a metaphorical sea.
Yes.
I don't think the
It'd be bizarre if they were actually at sea.
It would be a bit weird. Maybe this is a sailor shanty. Who knows?
Maybe.
Ghost equivalent to, I don't know, a sailor song. What's a sailor song? In the Navy by...
I don't think that's a sailor's song.
There's sailors in it, just gonna say. But no, I think you're right on that. On seas of wonder, ye confused strays, is actually a reference to a Bible verse. Isaiah 53:6, in which is stated, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So, my point beforehand was, essentially, they've been shepherded so long, they're like sheep who don't know what they're doing. They're in an open field, they have all these options, and they're like, panic time. We don't know what to do. The second two lines are a reference to another part of the Bible, which is a Psalm 119:105, which reads, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." So that would be, without a guiding light, you see no ways. It's a reference to that. Both of those sort of back up my theory that the population have lost their way, as I said, and are seeking salvation.
Yeah.
Have you got any thoughts on these lines?
No, that's Sigs. I've put the exact same note for both of those verses.
Nice.
And that is just, and that just says, oldie worldy way of saying you're lost without a vision. That's what I've put for both of them.
Fair. Let's move on then. Into the eyes of fire, into the gaze ablaze, into the burning light of Satan's... It says rays here. I always thought it was Satan's gaze, but just hearing it, just reading it now, like, my brain was just like, of Satan's gaze, and it just stopped working because
I get a lot of ghost lyrics wrong. Like when we did Satan Prayer and I was reading those lyrics, I was like, that is not what I've been singing.
No, but you're correct. It is Rays.
But I did know it was Rays. Know Rays.
But it's because it doesn't rhyme with Blaze.
Rays, Blaze.
Into the gaze ablaze, into the burning light of Satan's rays.
Rays. Well, it's better than an alternative. What else rhymes with ablaze?
Gaze, maze.
Well, so does rays.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, ablaze, rays. Well,
is this an accent thing?
It might be an accent thing, because blaze and rays rhyme perfectly for me.
Right, ablaze, rays.
Ah, see, there we go. That's
Maybe it's an accent thing. So my dumb ass has been sitting there going, into the light of Satan's gaze. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I just read it in my head. Like, I just read it there for the first time in my life, even though I've wrote the episode around these lyrics. I'm just like, what? What does you mean, race?
The origin of accents with Aidan and Niall.
The gospel of accents. Let's do this. But you're right. So, this to me. Actually, you take it. You take this one.
Well, I think this is them just this. Again, the fact it says into is now them saying you've come from your lost way. You've not got a cause or a vision, and now you're coming into the eyes of fire. You're coming into our world of Satanism. This is them being pulled into the evil church of Ghost, I think, really, is what that
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much. If we're going to stick to the nautical themes, you know.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying.
Is this the shore? Is that what you...
No. Oh, okay. It wasn't actually going to say that, but it is something akin to that. If we're going to stick to the nautical themes, in my opinion, you could see it as, you know, the gaze of layers, the burning light, whatever you want to say it. It's the lighthouse that's guiding them safely through the ocean. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that's exactly what's going on. I'm just saying if we're going to stick to the metaphor, we may as well paint that picture. Good.
I like that. That's
Thank
nice.
You. Thank you. What I have wrote down, because I just made that thing up the top of my head. If you didn't like it, it was getting cut. This is the start of the turn of the population into the services of Satan. God offering nothing, but Satan offering them the brightest light they can see to guide their way down the path of choice. That's what I have there. It's not very deep. There's not a lot to look into, but it is very important that we understand what those four lines mean.
Yeah, because they're said quite a few times.
They are. We won't be covering them again because the rest is... I don't need to say it. Okay, so the next lines. Into the source of wisdom, beyond the Bible lies, into the endless depth of Satan's eyes. See, that one rhymes.
There we go. There's no accent trouble here.
No, they rhyme, but the other one doesn't. So I'll start this off.
Okay.
So into the source of wisdom, beyond the Bible lies, to me, is like one of the most interesting lines in this song. Not only is it bigging up Satan's intelligence and wisdom, because he is basically akin to God, but beyond the Bible lies is such like a little, like a clever double meaning. To me, this line means both look past the Bible and see Satan, which obviously is the literal version of it, but it also has the implication that the Bible itself is the lies, that it is the one that's full of lies, and you should be able to read through them using the wisdom that Satan has granted you. Just it was just a nice little, with one line, it was like, yeah, it means to turn your back on God, but it also means the Bible's full of lies and you should be wise to that by now. Into the endless depth of Satan's eyes is showing just how powerful, and I've air quoted this, welcoming Satan is in this world. He's not shallow, he's not like God, but he's complex and able to contain humanity within himself. Any thoughts on that?
It's another one, you know, nice and deep interpretation. I think, again, when it says beyond the Bible lies, that's this bit summed up, really. It's just more of, let's pull you into the world of Satan and away from those lies that people have been telling you. It's very like, those people are lying to you, now come here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think you've covered it, really.
Awesome. Okay, let's move on. Spiral and pulsating, his eyes are enthralling, his eyes like a vortex, a well in which you're falling. And then
Lovely.
Thank you.
I think you should just cut that bit out.
That's just the preview. Just
play it.
Oh.
No, I mean, cut that bit out and have it as its own clip. Just post it on the Instagram.
Yeah, no. See, like the intro songs I do at the start, like that Bison has kindly provided. I'm just going to cut that out. I'm just going to cut that entire song out. And I'm just going to do that over and over and over again for like 34 seconds, 35
seconds. Put some nice reverb on it, and you've got a nice effect.
Fantastic. Okay, so why don't you cover this bit?
Well, this is where I think, obviously, it's talking about being lost into Satanism and I suppose even being hypnotized in a way. The thing about being a vortex sort of reminds me of being hypnotized. But this is where I think my interpretation was that this is them going beyond actually just joining the church and actually going into hell in a way. Because it's like, well, now you're part of this church, you're going to hell. And I think a well in which you're falling, obviously you can say I'm falling. It's like a way of saying I've gone down a rabbit hole kind of thing. But I also think maybe that is a literal interpretation of saying his eyes are enthralling, his eyes are like a vortex, and now this is a well in which you're falling. And from this church, you're going to go to hell. So I think on the next bit is when I think it's actually in hell, as I was saying at the beginning. But this to me is those lost people, those strays, actually get in their place in hell now.
Okay. This is where we partly divulge. It's not entirely different, but we do partially divulge here, or separate in our ideas. You pretty much covered what I had to say, because I did go down the hypnotizing route, because whenever I don't know why, But in my head, whenever I listen to this song, mainly the intro and this part of the song, in my head, I always have like a really like psychedelic cartoon of like the album cover. But instead of like the eyes he has, it's just like twirly red and black hypnotizing eyes, if you know what I mean. Like, you know that.
Okay, yeah, sure.
I don't know. It's just I'm weird.
Whatever you say.
Yeah. so, yeah, to me, it's like. In my head, the picture is a population falling into like a spiral background of like black and red. I don't think they go to hell. I don't think it's a literal definition. I don't think it's a literal description of them going to hell.
Well, maybe if it's not literally them going to hell, I think it's about them saying you've got a place in hell now. That's how I read it.
Yeah, that could be one. However, I would like to propose to you that this could actually be, instead of them going to hell, that could be that hell is going to them. Because obviously Satan has now taken power on Earth. Why does he need the dominion below when he can have the dominion above?
Okay. Explain some more.
Explain. Okay. Instead of the population physically going to hell, right? They've had a bad lot with the Church of God. They weren't exactly that nice, okay? But we know, me and you, yeah, listeners of the album, we know that Satan in the storyline isn't a nice person, okay? He's evil. He's tricked the population into letting him into their minds, into their hearts, etc. And now he now has dominion over the world itself. Why would he need to have the population go to him when he could just go to them? Essentially, it's hell on earth, if you know what I'm saying.
I see. So he's come out of hell to join. Okay.
Yes. He's come out of hell to join them.
And I know what you're going to say about the next verse now.
Okay.
I'm with you. I understand.
Sweet. Would you agree on that? Or do you think it's a decent theory?
No, I like that. That's a good, because then it does make more sense for the next verse. Yeah, I like that. That makes sense.
Thank you. The as at the end, which I so majestically recreated on this podcast, to me are the population finally giving in to Satan. They sound sort of relieved that the pressure is off and they don't have to think anymore about the choice that they're making. I wouldn't go so far as to say it sounds orgasmic by any chance, but it sounds like a sigh of relief, essentially. Maybe a misplaced sigh of relief, but...
That they finally have another body to do their thinking for them again.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, I'm glad we could agree on that. Let's move on. The swamp of feces that is the world flatulates a whirlwind storm in which you swirl. You called me out. You said you knew what I was going to say. Let's hear it. First off, what did you say? And then second off,
because
what
I was going to say is this was... The thing I was going to say is this is them... This is hell now. This is them saying you're lost in this. Mm-hmm. We've tricked you. You've fallen into hell now.
Yeah.
Now we get to torture you for eternity. So you've it's like you've fallen for it. You're in this whirlwind storm of chaos, and this is where you are now. So to me, when it says that is the world, they're describing, for my side, this is hell now that they're in. So they fall into hell. This is hell. They're saying you're trapped here eternally. I know you're now going to say is that now that he's come to Earth, he's turned it into the swamp of feces. I assume is what you're going to say. I'm doubting myself now. But he's turned it into the swamp of feces, and that is the world now.
It's not exactly a literal, oh yeah, the earth is now hell. I think that you could say that this earth, this version of earth, and you know, you could maybe argue this version of earth on that we live in is shit. What I was going to say is that now that Satan has the population in his grasp, so he is now the man above all, this is where his real intentions or personality, I suppose, is revealed. Papa here is basically calling the world shit, and nothing that happens is ever going to change that. There is no escape. As long as you continue to exist, you will be swirling in this whirlwind storm of flatulence and misery. Basically hell.
It's definitely a verse about, haha, we tricked you, because we both said that.
Oh yeah,
from different, massively from different perspectives, but it is very much of like, the rest of the song is like pulling you in. It's like, oh, come to Satanism. And then this one's like, yeah, we've got you, and you ain't gonna like it.
Yeah, exactly. This is finally where they've went from like low-key subterfuge evil to like high-key, you know, I'm an evil bastard evil. Like, this is them finally showing their hand. And it's finally come.
Yeah.
And yeah, the next song, which is Monstrous Clock, is gonna back that up. In my opinion.
Oh, of course.
So, anything else to add on that?
Not on that one.
Cool. So, we're going to move on to the final bit of lines. I do want to discuss very briefly the repeated choruses that go on near the end, but we're going to move on to the final lines, which is, "In disarray you ponder, your soul malaise, abandon the long-lost man your child portrays." Again, I think it's an accent thing, because does malaise and portrays, portrays so, rhyme with you?
Malaise. Yeah. Portrays.
Yeah, see, it's an accent thing. It rhymes. I would say Malia's portrays is what I would say.
I can hear it now. Yeah, yeah. It's
like it's a harsher A, you know? It's a harsher A.
Yeah.
So coming off the back of that, coming off the back of the fact that the clergy have now exposed themselves as the evil organization that they are, in my opinion, this verse is describing the feeling of the population now they've made their choice and they're coming to terms with what they've done. Essentially, panicking that they have changed their entire society and pondering, thinking, worrying what that means for them. Is that generally what you would have as an overview of this?
Yes. I think the abandon the long-lost man your child portrays loses me slightly.
It was a difficult one, I'll give you that.
I don't really know who the long-lost man is or who your child is. That's the only bit I don't understand there. But in disarray you ponder, your soul malaise does make sense.
I had two thoughts on that, and we will get into that. I just want to go through what malaise means, because it's not exactly a very common term.
No.
So malaise means a general feeling of discomfort, illness, or unease whose exact cause is difficult to identify. And yeah, I'm sure a lot of people are probably feeling that right now in this world. We all get that after a very difficult decision. Did we do the right thing? Did we not? Could we have done better if we chose differently, etc.? Basically just backing up the feeling of confusion and panic amongst the people. Now, abandon the long-lost man your child portrays. I had a lot of difficulty with this, as I'm sure you did, because it doesn't make a lot of sense. However, there is two options. I'm partial to either, honestly, because neither of them are overly strong. I will admit it. There's just not a lot to go on. So, abandon the long-lost man your child portrays could be Papa singing to God, or Satan singing to God, about abandoning man, or abandoning humankind, abandoning mankind, because your child portrays could be a reference to Jesus when he took the form of man and walked the earth. That could be Satan's way of saying, you've lost, it's time to abandon them, the long lost man. That doesn't mean that they've been missing or whatever. That means that, you know, you've lost them and it has been a while since you've lost them, so just give up.
Yeah, and then I guess your child portrays is just like saying that your child represents.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, or in probably a weaker one, I suppose, it's could be a reference to a nativity play that is performed at Christmas by, you know, children in a school.
Okay, very timely for the release
exactly.
date of this.
This is the Christmas special. If you don't know what a nativity play is, because I'm not sure they're done in America... Like, I think it's, like, not a thing over
really?
There.
Really?
I don't think they're done in America, because it's very religious. I don't think they do that sort of stuff in...
But I thought they were more religious in America than they are over here.
I think it's a bit different in public education. I'm not sure. If you're American and you happen to have seen nativity plays, or you do a nativity play, please let me know on Instagram, at Gospel of
Ghost. Yeah, I want to know now. They must do. I'm sure I've seen a nativity in The Simpsons.
Maybe.
They must
do. Maybe. I don't know. But that's what I'm saying. It is basically a play that tells the story of Mary, Joseph, and the birth of Jesus Christ. Perhaps this is the Antichrist telling the people it's time to finally abandon this story that they keep betraying and move on. Personally, I'm going with the first one.
Yeah, I'm gonna say let's go with the former.
Yeah, okay.
So, I like that one.
Yeah, you like that one. You like it's like direct shot at God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't cut the other one out, because I want to know if Americans do nativity.
I'm not gonna cut the other one out.
But I'd say the first argument is stronger.
Agreed. I was really reaching with that nativity thing. I will give you that. But it's the only thing I could think of. Any other thoughts? Any last thoughts on those lines before we move on to the ending discussion?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
It's actually, I really do really like that verse. It's one of my favourite ghost verses, actually, in all of their songs, genuinely, that. Because I think there's a way that you can interpret it to being... Well, I did anyway. A couple of years ago, I was struggling with sort of moving on from some stuff. And I... interpreted that as sort of being like in disarray upon your soul, about holding on to the past and moving on from that. So I do genuinely really like that verse. That's the only thing I can add to that. It doesn't go with the Gospel of Ghosts, but on a personal note, I really like that section of this song.
As much as we like to pretend on the Gospel of Ghost that this music is all about Satan and, you know, grand thematic storylines and stuff, at the end of the day, it is still music. Music is a very personal thing. Songs mean different things to different people, regardless of whether you think they're awful, regardless of whether you think they're great. You should never insult someone's favorite song or what a song means to them because you don't know what's going on in their head. I completely agree with that, personally.
Yeah.
Mary on the Cross sort of had something similar with me as well. But, you know, I never told anybody, I never said it. It was just like, you know, this is just what my head does when I listen to this song.
Yeah, you can't explain it. If I try to explain what, you know, to the average Joe, what In Disarray You Ponder Your Soul Malaise means, I'd be there all day.
Yeah, so exactly. Some lyrics, on the face of it, aren't worth much to some people. Some lyrics, on the face of it, are worth everything to some people. I think that's what we can say. One man's trash is another man's treasure. One man's nothing is another man's everything. And there we go. That's high philosophy. I think this is the deepest we've ever got on the Gospel of Ghost.
Oh, yes, and I'm here for it. Amazing.
But right, okay, so let's finish this discussion off. And I want to talk about the last lines of this song as the chorus is being repeated, okay? I do wonder if you know where I'm going with this by any chance. Any inkling on what I'm going to bring up?
I will say yes after you've said it, so I look like, yes, I saw that coming.
Ah, yes, the clever approach, of course. Okay, so I do want to bring attention, because it's just repeated, but I do want to bring attention to how it's sung, like the actual vocal stylings of it, I suppose. It begins by being sung by Papa in his usual manner, but as the chorus progresses and the repetitions progress, it's then taken over by a crowd, a choir, I suppose, but, you know, in this story, we'll say a crowd of people who basically sing it deadpan. Like, it goes from a very, not emotional, but it goes from a very varied pronunciation to everything just being into the eyes of fire.
Yeah.
You know, like that sort of thing. It's like they've been brainwashed again.
Or the, I suppose it could even go with the hypnotism bit.
Exactly,
as well, really.
Exactly. They've been hypnotized. They've been brainwashed. I think the last, you know, the last couple of lines from the chorus of this song is the whole population that have now been brought under the control of Satan. Hypnotized, brainwashed, whatever you want to call it. Cementing his dominion over man. I assume you knew I was going to say all that.
Yes.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
I'm glad we're on the same wavelength.
Definitely.
But that's it for this episode of The Gospel of Ghost. Thank you very much for joining me, Aidan. It's been a pleasure.
You're very welcome.
I know you mentioned your Doctor Who show at the start of this podcast, but please again, replug it.
Okay, Exterminating Doctor Who, YouTube, Spotify, come find us. If you're a Doctor Who fan and you think there's a lot of episodes out there that don't get talked about enough, that's what we're here for. So,
looking forward to it. And yeah, as I said, expecting my invite in the mail anytime soon.
Oh, of course.
And also, of course, don't forget to follow Aidan and Bryn's fan page at ghostclergyuk. So that's ghost.clergy.uk.
Yeah.
That's it from me. Thank you very much for joining me, Aidan. As I said, it's been a pleasure. And I will see you guys, I was going to say in about 2 weeks' time, but I'm taking a week or so off for Christmas. So I will see you in about 3 weeks' time for Monstrous Clock. Hail Satan.